Good morning. I want to welcome everyone this morning. We want to welcome all of our visitors. You know, we have a lot of people with us. Many of you are here in town for Sing Song, otherwise known as the time that all the ACU professors with Machiavellian delight assign as much homework as possible. Am I right? Am I right, professors? Can I get an amen? I love looking at Facebook and Twitter of all the people complaining. Oh, I hate my professors so much for planning all this work during Sing Song Week. And I think if their professors could see it, they would say, you guys are in college. Get over it. Take a deep breath, everyone, all the college students. It's over. Now you can get back to studying. We're very glad that you guys are here. Sing Song was great. You guys did a great job. We want to welcome you. We're glad that you're here. Here at Hillcrest, we are engaged in a journey that we're calling the connected life. And we're asking the question, are all parts of your life connected to God? How you make your choices, the things that you're doing, the decisions that you make, are they connected in every way to God? Right now, we're thinking about our identity. Is our identity connected to God? Connected to our faith? How many of you have thought much about why you are who you are? I know that's kind of a big question. A lot of us spend a lot of time searching for our identity, trying to find who we are, all the while not realizing we already are who we are, right? Isn't that the thing that sets us apart? Being able to think about ourselves? Do you know why you are who you are? Not the things you know. You've went to school, you've studied, you've read. But who are you? Your character. I want to suggest this morning that you are who you are because of the people in your life. If we were to sit down and have a conversation, if we were to sit down in a living room somewhere, or maybe over a dinner, and talk about ourselves, most likely we would share stories about the people in our life. We would share stories about those that we have known growing up, those who have been influential and had major impacts on our life. We would share stories about the people who have informed us. Isn't that the way we learn? Isn't that the way we become who we are by those around us? I watch my kids and I watch my youngest son, Liam, and the way he behaves. And he sees us going through the living room and picking up all of his trash that he just kind of, you know, gets scattered out, and he sees us throwing it away. And so we've caught him many times going through the living room and picking up trash and carrying it over to the trash can. He's like 16 months. I cleaned out the trash once, and it had like all of his toys in it. So he doesn't quite understand yet exactly what's going on there. But we learn. We become who we are by the people in our lives who have influences on us. This morning, I want us to think about our identities in Christ, why we are who we are. Our passage this morning comes from Hebrews chapter 12. Chapters 11 and 12 are some of the most well-known and oft-quoted scriptures in all of the Bible. And our focus text this morning, the first three verses of chapter 12, probably contain some of the most well-known verses. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight or encumbrance and sin that easily entangles and clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder, the author, the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. So what is the appeal? What is our writer trying to say, trying to encourage us to do? Really three things. The first is that he wants us to cast off every sin. He wants to cast off the weight in our lives. Throughout Hebrews, the author has been employing a sports metaphor. And the metaphor here is one of a race that is about to take place. And they would have thought about these runners as they were getting ready for the race and as they were training. They trained with weights and various things strapped to themselves. And so when they got ready to run, they would lay aside these weights and so more easily be able to run the race. Another thing he may be thinking of is they also would divest themselves of their clothes. You know, to make themselves more streamlined, to be able to run with no entanglements, with nothing to trip them up. Don't we do this today? Our swimmers, they wear certain kind of swim gear and headgear. Our runners, they wear certain kind of gear to make themselves more aerodynamic. And so the idea here is casting off anything that might prevent you from running the best that you can. And he wants to apply that metaphor to the Christian life. What are the things in our lives that are hindrances? What are the things in our lives that are weighing us down spiritually and emotionally? And he encourages us to cast them aside. To lay aside anything that might hobble us, might trip us up, might prevent us from running the right kind of race. And secondly, he says, I want you to do so with endurance. He wants us to run with endurance and perseverance because he realizes the race that we are called to run isn't a short race. It's not the 100-yard dash. It's not even a mile or 2 miles. We are talking about a marathon. Times 100, right? We're talking about a long race, a race that requires endurance. It's nothing for us to think about maybe running from here to the back of the auditorium. That's not a big deal. Physically, most of us could do that. What about running around the building? Some of you could, but I don't know about all this up here. What about running around the building, say, 700 times? Talking to friends of mine who are marathoners, they say running a race is difficult, but the easiest part is the physicality. And I'm like, have you seen? You know, I don't think physicality is the, you know, to me that's the most difficult thing, but they say the most difficult thing is the mental aspect of it. It's easy to think about running a short distance because you know it will be over soon. I read about a race once that takes place in South Dakota, I believe, and it's a 120-mile race. It takes a different kind of mentality to be able to think about running that far. It takes a different kind of mental perseverance to think about making yourself go the distance. I think more than physically being prepared, we are to be mentally prepared for the race we are called to run. See, when we go to church camp, that's a sprint, right? And we're all fully engaged while we're there, and every day is holy and fully connected to God and what we're doing, and we're being encouraged, and we feel great, and then we end, and we go back to our life, right? We've run this short spiritual race. We are called to run the distance. It is a different thing mentally to prepare ourselves to think about running the Christian life for the next 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, as long as we have left. To think about every day connecting yourself to God. To think about every day making the right decisions. To living the kind of spiritual life that you live when you're at church or at a church camp or a retreat or something like that. That's a different kind of mentality altogether that is required. And it's difficult, and it requires perseverance. And finally, he says, we are to cast our eyes onto Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. Jesus, the ultimate trailblazer for being a faithful person. Both God and man living a sinless life and calling us onward to perfection. Paul wrote something similar to the Philippians. He said, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. All of this that has been written is to encourage us so that in verse 3 we may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Our writer understands how difficult what we are being called to do is. He understands the pitfalls of life. He understands the difficult decisions that we're called to make. He understands the opposition that we're going to face. Now, whole sermons have been written about the three things I just mentioned. In fact, whole sermon series and whole books have been dedicated to covering those three things that I covered in a matter of minutes. Because my focus this morning, what I'm most interested in this morning, is the idea that all of this has been predicated upon. Chapter 11. The therefore, at the beginning of verse 1, is emphatic. It's strong. Usually this word, the word that's usually translated as therefore is different here. It only appears one other time in the New Testament. It emphatically stands at the beginning of this section to connect the previous section before it. To say all of this that I'm about to say is based on what I have just told you. And what has he just said? Because, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Because we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, an especially appropriate response is required. A full dedication of your life to God because of what I have just said. Hebrews chapter 11 contains what a lot of people call the honor roll of faith or the hall of fame of believers. He calls them witnesses. These are the many great men and women of Scripture that are being held up as the kind of life that can be lived in faithfulness to God. Their lives are examples that all of us ought to aspire to. They are being held up and shown as examples to say, this is what is possible if you give your life to God. This kind of faith is what is required. He calls them witnesses, a word from which we get martyr. I want us to think about witnesses as the idea of being in a courtroom, giving testimony for something that you have personally seen, heard, and experienced. Testifying can be a dangerous thing. Many movies, books, even the TV shows, even the news talk a lot about witnesses being taken into protective custody because they have seen something they shouldn't have, because they are going to testify to some crime that has been committed, and people want to prevent them, to keep them from making their testimony, from being a witness to what they have seen. Well, when it comes to religious matters, testimony can also be dangerous. When you testify to an ultimate truth, when you testify to a God in heaven that calls us to live a certain way over a different kind of life. For this reason, the word witness or one testifying came to be used in a special way to describe witnesses whose testimony cost them their life. And that's where we get our word martyr. The Greek word is martyrion. Sounds a lot like martyr. Means witness or testimony. The kind of lives that we are called to lead, the kind of testimony that we are called to give every single day in the way we walk and the way we behave makes us sacrifice our life. Any life that we would have wanted to live on our own is sacrificed by choosing to follow God. We are all martyrs. We are all witnesses to God, living a life of testimony. These people, these great cloud of witnesses in chapter 11 are mentioned. They are more than just spectators to our race. They are witnesses testifying to a life that can be lived in faithfulness to God. They are men and women who have come before us, who have lived lives of faith, following God and keeping His word, and they leave for us a rich heritage, a spiritual legacy, an example to follow. How encouraging is it, how inspiring is it to think on their lives, the things that they have done, what they have overcome, and to know that it's possible. To know that no matter what we face in this life, no matter what we suffer, it is possible to live a life in faithfulness to God. That is why these men and women of chapter 11 have been held up, so we can know, so that we can see without a doubt that it is indeed possible. Here at Hillcrest, we have a tradition. Around this time of year, we show a video. And the video is pictures of people that we have said goodbye to in the past year. Men and women of God who have passed on. And we do this so that we can honor their memories, so that we can hold them up, so that they can be added to our own personal honor roll of faith. We don't say goodbye to them, for they are not gone forever. They have simply passed into our great cloud of witnesses. Please turn your attention to the video.
Your holy name.
What more should I say? For time would fail me to tell. And he goes on and very briefly mentions more. A few more names to be added to that honor roll of faith. I might follow his example. What more should I say? Many of us here are connected to the pictures that we just saw. We see those pictures and we don't just see old men and old women or young men and young women. But we see people who have meant something to us. We see people who have lived lives of faith for us to follow. We see people who in their daily walks sought after God. And they have left a legacy for us to follow. They have left us someone to stand on their shoulders to help us take the next step in our journey towards God. We think about what they meant to us, how they have shaped us. What more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of all the others that are represented in this room who have lost someone close to them that are now in their honor roll of faith. We have many visitors who we have not spoken of, who have lost loved ones recently. Time would not allow us to tell of every single one of their stories, but you know them, and you know them well. You have been touched in your life by people who have meant something to you. And we do not say goodbye to them, but we simply recognize that now they are a part of our great crowd of witnesses, watching us, cheering us on, but doing more than that, testifying with their very life that faithfulness to God is possible, that the identities we all seek after is possible, that we can go through this life living holy and committed and connected lives, and we can go to God and He can say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I hope this morning that you're thinking about those in your life that have meant something to you. Your own personal honor roll of faith, the men and women of God who have went before you and shown you the way. I pray that you would think on them and that you will live your lives in respect and honor for the life that they lived. The movie Saving Private Ryan tells this story, right? We know this story. And at the very end of it, the man whose life had been sacrificed to save, he asks that question, "Did I earn it? Am I a good person? Have I lived the right kind of life? Did I live my life in a way to honor the sacrifice that was made?" All of us are called to ask that question. You see, at the very end, he says, "I want you to cast your eyes to Jesus. These people have all come before you, but now cast your eyes to Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith, and you live your life in a manner worthy of the sacrifice made for you." My prayer for you this morning is that you think about casting off all those things that keep you from running the race that the people who've come before us have run. Maybe you have yet to enter this race. Maybe you have yet to even think about casting aside or naming the things in your life you need to cast aside. Many of us sit in that position. I pray that you think very seriously about giving your life to God. If you have yet to become a Christian, I pray that you think about giving your life to Him in baptism, receiving the forgiveness of your sins and the salvation of your soul, becoming a part of the rich heritage of faith that we have that has stretched on for years and years behind us. Maybe you're a part of that, but you've fallen, you've stumbled, your mind has not been readied for the kind of race you've been called to live, and you need help. We can help you with that. Whatever your need this morning, whether it's right now as we call the invitation song, or whether it's finding someone, an elder or another member of this church, we all pray that you get the help that you need. Please come while we stand and sing.